This is David Lamb, and I want to say thank you for listening to this 9-part teaching series on the Trinity. I hope to accomplish 2 things with this endeavor. First, to teach some of the precious truths of the Holy Trinity, and secondly, to soundly refute oneness Jesus-only theology, primarily the horrid heresy which states that God is one in person and not in unity. Oneness theology is very dangerous and desperately needs to be uncovered and exposed as the poison it is. Although I believe the eternal security doctrine is Satan's champion doctrine, in regards to our wholeness movement, oneness theology presents the greatest danger. Though the Jesus-only churches, like nearly every other church, are compromising their holiness standards, for the most part, they look and dress just like we do. In many ways, their services, singing, and music are just like ours, and they even use much of the same Pentecostal jargon that we use. Now, I want to solemnly warn you, they are masters of false inference. They love to take truth and mix it with some half-truths and often full-blown lies to prove their rhetoric. You've got to listen closely. You've got to make sure they're not pushing mere conjecture and speculation off as God's holy word. Some of these people are so convincing, they can almost make it sound as if they believe exactly the same thing as we do. But nothing can be further from the truth. Brothers and sisters, a Trinitarian does not worship and serve the same God as do the Jesus-only adherents. Now, I'm not saying that there has never been anyone saved in a oneness church. For heaven's sake, if God can save a man at a Van Halen rock and roll concert, He can save a man in a Jesus-only church. Though I'll concede that a person could possibly get saved in that church setting, the God of Jesus-only theology has never saved anyone. Their God is not the God of the Bible. Their God is not the true God of Scripture. And to be as plain as I can be, their God is a figment of their vain imaginations. If you're presently attending a oneness church or you're being pulled at by oneness believers, don't merely walk away from that church or group of people. You run for your life. They're teaching damnable doctrine, and Satan would love nothing more than for you to take it hook, line, and sinker and ultimately be lost. I sought for an earthly analogy to demonstrate my view of the Trinity, but I couldn't find one. Some like to use an egg's yolk, yellow, and shell to illustrate the Trinity, but I just don't feel comfortable with that analogy. The yolk, yellow, and shell of an egg are merely 3 parts of an egg. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not 3 parts of the Godhead. They are 3 individual persons. One must be careful with this analogy because it almost aligns perfectly with oneness theology. Do you know that many oneness believers also use the egg as an earthly analogy to show the Godhead? It's no wonder that they think we believe the same things. Now, I've heard others, even great scholars, use the snow, ice, and water analogy. I once read where an Indian said he understood the Trinity after digging through the snow and then breaking through the ice that covered the pond that he was desiring to fish in. The idea was that snow, ice, and water are 3, yet 1. But all they have described is 3 forms of the same thing. With the summer heat, this analogy disappears because snow and ice are merely forms of water. Again, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not merely 3 forms which comprise God. They are 3 distinctly separate individuals. So after diligent study and much searching for the perfect earthly analogy to illustrate the triunity of the Godhead, I have come to the conclusion that there isn't one. I meditated upon this subject for days, even weeks. I still desperately wanted to give you a picture that would at least give you a concept of the Trinity. On the front cover of this album, you'll find a picture of 3 torches whose flames unite into 1 flame. This picture best describes my view of the Trinity, and I feel it answered my question concerning the Trinity's like essence and substance. For the sake of our cover, we put them side by side, but that wasn't my original concept, and we may change this later. What I saw was 3 torches bundled together in a triangular shape, as if you were to take 3 drumsticks and tie them together with a rope. The torches were bound tightly, one against the other. All 3 had their own individual flame, but the 3 flames rising upward created 1 massive flame. Each individual flame could no longer be recognized, for the 3 flames were now the same flame, each fueling the other. Again, these torches were 3 distinctly separate torches, but when bound together, they comprised 1 torch, even as many individual threads comprise the garments that you now wear. Had the bands that tied those torches together been broken, they could have been separated into 3 individual torches, Yet together they were indisputably one torch, therefore of the same essence. I presented this picture to different ones and I asked them, how many torches do you see? Some said three and some said one. And this let me know that I was at least getting closer than anything that I had seen or heard before. The greatest struggle I had throughout all of this rested in one question. That question was, how can three distinctly separate persons be of the same substance? This question tormented my mind for many days, and I desperately sought God to give me something to help me better understand this awesome truth. I can now see clearly how three could be of the same essence or nature, but the substance issue had me stumped, but then it hit me. They were all three hewn from the same tree. If all three torches had been hewn from the same tree, they would indeed be of the same substance. And if all three torches were bound together to such a degree that their flames united into one flame, they were indeed three yet one and one yet three. They would be of the same substance, essence, and purpose. As I have previously stated, there is no perfect earthly analogy that describes the triunity of the Godhead. So at best, this analogy is crude and far from being perfect. But in light of this crude analogy, let us consider the Holy Trinity. Even as the torches were three, yet one when united, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three distinctly separate individuals, yet they comprise one awesome God. And just for the record, like the torches, the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Now, unlike the torches, the Trinity were never hewn from anything, for they have always been. Neither of the three have a genesis, yet the Trinity, like the three torches, are of the same divine God substance as if they had been hewn from the same tree. They three are bound by eternity, but if the tie of eternity could be broken, they would be self-existent. However, that is not a possible scenario, since they have always coexisted in a perfect concordant harmony throughout all eternity, and they will always coexist in a perfect concordant harmony throughout all eternity. Rest assured, brothers and sisters, the question of self-existence is futile in light of their eternal coexistence. Finally, when one takes a step backward and he is asked, how many do you see? The answer is sometimes one, and at other times the answer is three. How can this be? Well, 1 John 5:7 gives us the answer. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. As I wrote this introduction, I realized that what I saw was nothing more than a physical, earthly analogy of the triangle that Brother Crane has on the front of his pamphlet entitled Arian and Tritheism Doctrines Considered in the Light of Trinitarian Doctrine. I guess sometimes us old country boys have to take the scenic route to get to where we're going. Now, I want you to know that I've tread upon this ground with my shoes removed, for I believe it's holy ground. I take any and all blame for any possible errors throughout this series, but I give God all the glory for His precious Word. I want you to know that I have read many, many, many articles on both sides of the fence, Trinitarian and Jesus only. I have called four of the most scholarly men that I know in our holiness movement and asked them certain questions about particulars. And I feel like that I have approached this with an open mind and a heart of prayer and fasting. And I desperately want to see you strengthened in your belief in the Trinity. This nine-lesson series will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is triune. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three persons are one God. This series will effectively expose the many fallacies of the Jesus-only movement and show you the truth of God's Word concerning the Godhead. I hope and pray that your knowledge of who God is will be greatly increased. May the Lord bless you.